Hello. Testing. You good? All right. Well, grace and peace. Just going to open us in a word of prayer. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would quicken our minds, that we would understand the Lord Jesus Christ, His place of centrality, the centerpiece, love for Him, what that is. Help me to communicate, help everyone to hear, and above all, that you would be pleased with what I'm about to speak and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you heard of the book, The Five Love Languages? Anybody heard of that? Anybody read that book? Okay. I never have read the book, but I've heard enough about it that I understand the point of the book. And it's this. People like to be loved in certain forms. And my job as a brother or a sister in Christ is to find that form that ministers to them and then bless them by loving them in that way. It's a good thing. This is an application of loving my neighbor as myself. Okay, right? I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about someone else and how to love them, how to meet them where they're at, what blesses them, and how to love them in that way, for their sakes, and as a secondary reason, and as a primary reason, loving the Lord Jesus Christ first. Well, I've seen this in my own marriage unfold, and I think that if a person is living righteously, that this will be the natural byproduct of Christian living, that you'll think about other people and how to love them. My wife is a massage therapist, and when I first got married, you know, everybody thinks, "Wow, my wife's a massage therapist. You lucky guy." And so we tried that, you know, and I didn't really like it. I didn't like, you know, I come home from work, I'm sore already. I didn't want somebody, you know, making mashed potatoes on my back. But I do like to have my back scratched. And I always have. My brother and I used to trade. And I'd scratch his, he'd scratch mine. So, what began as an offer to, hey, you know, I want to minister to you, I'll give you a massage. Well, I really don't like that. Will you scratch my back for me? Okay. So then, you know, after a while, after you ask a number of times, then she catches on. Okay. I don't have to ask anymore. Now she's asking me, would you like to have your back scratched? And I love it. Even if I'm wiped out, I usually have enough energy to go from the back to the belly so I can get to work. The scratchies. We have a word for it. The scratchies. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has a love language. And I love this about this topic that I've been given. is it's succinctly answered in the Scripture. There's really not a lot of latitude for me, anyway. I felt bound because the Lord answers this so clearly, this question about loving Him, to answer it in the most clear way. And He gives the answer. And so I want to give that to you. He has a love language, and as you turn to John chapter 14, I want to tell you my idea about starting a club. I have an idea for a club. I want you to listen to this. The name of the club is going to be the Society of Commandment Keepers. Okay? And the emphasis of the society will be on keeping the commandments of Christ. And we'll have weekly meetings. And at the weekly meetings, we'll talk about keeping the commandments of Christ, and we're going to emphasize that. Then we'll have monthly meetings where statewide everyone will get together, and we're going to emphasize keeping the commandments of Christ. And then we'll have our yearly stadium event, okay, where everybody comes from all the states, and all we talk about and emphasize is keeping the commandments of Christ. Okay? Now, there are some benefits to being a member of this club. If you succeed, if you are successful. Okay? Number one, you'll be loved by Jesus. Number two, you'll be loved by the Father. Number three, Jesus will reveal Himself to you. Number four, Jesus and the Father will come and make their home with you. Number five, grace will be wished upon you. And number six, you will remain in Jesus' love. Okay, we'll get back to that later. John 14:15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. The word love here is agapao, or agape. And there are several words for love, and that's why I mention this. The one used here is agape. I want to give you some brief highlight some of the qualities of agape love. Now, by definition, as far as the definition goes, agape would be defined as devotion or dedication or devoted appreciation would be good. One of the character qualities of agape love is that it's unconditional. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Okay? So his love was not conditioned. His death and the love that was manifested in the death was not conditioned upon my righteousness. It was while I was still, and while the human race was still sinning, Christ died for us, and we're sinners. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So again, this love that we receive in Ephesians 2, 4, was not conditioned upon my right living, not my righteousness. It was while I was still a sinner. We were dead. So agape love, unconditional. Agape love also is sacrificial. If you stay in Ephesians chapter 5, one of the characteristics of agape love is that it is sacrificial. And verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And so what about this love? In this verse, do I want you to know, does God want us to know, is that it was manifested in sacrifice. It involved sacrifice. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, the Lord Jesus Christ lays down His life for us, and not just in death, not only in death, right? But in ministry, which began around 30, he began to lay down His life in service to humanity when He began His ministry. All right. And last one, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. So agape love from the Father, in this verse, is manifested through the sending of His Son, His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we would receive life. And we live because He lives, right? He died, but He rose again, and now we live because of that. Okay, so here's a question, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What's he saying here? Does he just want robots? Does he just want computers that receive the prompting or the command about what to do, and then we execute it? and it's lifeless and robotic? Do you think that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here? No. He cares how we do it. And there's something that's built into this verse that I want you to see. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. And verses 25 and 26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. They had it backwards, right? They're thinking that if I can keep, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're thinking if I can keep everything looking good on the outside, that I'll be all right. That if I clean the outside of the cup, shine it up, get it looking good, that I'll please God. That I'll please God through keeping His commandments by outward obedience. And they had it all wrong. Because obedience doesn't originate from the outward. Because I don't think with the outward. I think with my mind. I love the Lord with my mind, right? My heart. Obedience, keeping the commands, comes from inward. And He's saying to the Pharisees, first clean the inside. Purify the inside of the cup. Then, don't worry about the outside. What's manifested will be from God, will come from God. That's why when we train our children, right? We're not just trying to correct the outward behavior that we're seeing. We're trying to train the heart. We want the heart to be honoring to God. I don't want my child to, you know, I see them doing something wrong. I give them instruction on what's right to do. They change their behavior, but their heart still wants to do the thing that I just told them not to do. Is that what God wants? When He says, keep, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you think the same God that chastised the Pharisees for outward living only would be pleased with our outward obedience? No. No. So, when I said, I want you to see something that's built in to this verse, it's that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this, but He's assuming you understand. He means in sincerity. That your obedience, my obedience, will be in sincerity and with a motivation that pleases God. Not with just a focus on the outward. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 24, last verse of the book. Paul says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Okay? And this just means genuinely, from the heart, that we love Him with our hearts. Okay? So does the Lord Jesus Christ want robots? No. No, He wants us to keep His commandments, but do it in sincerity. Okay. Agape love then says, I will serve him consistently. Okay? There will be a time when it's difficult. I'll put on the armor of a soldier. And the decision that I make to love the Lord Jesus Christ will be like one where you put the armor on and you know you're about to go out for battle. And you're expecting the worst. And there will be times when it'll be so easy. God will present the opportunity to do a work for Him. He'll equip you to do it through His Word, which equips us for every good work. And all you'll have to do is pick the fruit. Reach out and pick the fruit. But agape love is marrying myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, I'm committed. I'm devoted to keeping your commandments. So what's the love language of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's so plain. It's, I keep His commandments. And He loves this, if I do this. This is how I show my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had masonry business. This is my 15th year, and I can't believe it. I was talking to a brother last night, and he was telling me that he had been at the work that he's doing for 10 years. And he said, I can't believe it. Where's it gone? And I said, I know. I feel the same way. But I have had a number of employees, you know, come and go. And the thing that you learn to value is that somebody comes and does what you say. Somebody could come in with all the talent in the world and not be faithful and not be there consistently, may not be counted on. Someone could come there with all the talent and not be teachable. Somebody could come there with all the talent and I guess this is the same as not being teachable, but think that they know everything. You know, can't receive anything. And at the end of the day, what you really want, you know, I'll take someone that will come with a humble heart, that is teachable, that'll do what they're told. And the same thing that makes a good employee makes a good disciple. And the same thing that made the Lord Jesus Christ a good son to the Father will make you a good father, will make you a good husband, will make you a good child, will make you a good disciple. First John chapter 5. Oh, I skipped something here. Turn back to John chapter 14. Agape love, it's not a feeling. It's not necessarily in the guy who sings the loudest, who prays the longest, who talks about loving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the person that keeps His commandments. And that's what He says. He's our example. Right? In John 14 and verse 31, He's our example in this as well. Jesus said, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." And He says, "Let us go from here." And skip over to chapter 15 and verse 10. The B part of that verse. "Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So, if we ask this question, okay, if we said, "Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is asking me to keep His commandments. Has He done that?" And we say, "Yep, absolutely. He's our example here as well. He led us in how to love the Father," right? He loved the Father the way we're supposed to love Him. Perfect obedience, submission, during His time on the earth, did everything that the Father asked. And the same principle comes down to us. All right. What's my topic? Yeah, how do we know, how do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? There's another way. There's another thing we're going to look at. In 1 John chapter 5, there's another point. And verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." And then look just a couple verses back at 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So how do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Keep His commandments. And I love his brother. I love my brother. I love his church. I love his people. Why? Because Christ is in them. Christ is in that person. Christ is in us as believers. And what John's saying here is, it's inconsistent to say that I love God and to hate God in my brother. Christ is in my brother. How could I say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then my brother, who has Christ in him, I despise him. I don't like him. Maybe you don't despise him. That's too strong. Maybe you don't like him. Maybe you have something you could pick at him. You could bring an accusation against them. Maybe you're right. Maybe you pinpointed something in your brother. Maybe it's really there. And because of that, you don't love your brother. It's inconsistent. How can I say I love God? Do you really want to be a part of the ministry of Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, who all day long brings accusations against your brethren? Do you want to participate in that? Do you want to try to say on one hand, I love God, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then dismiss your brother or your sister because you found something at fault with them? And who are we to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands and falls. That's the servant of God that you're judging. That's his servant that we might be judging. Okay? Do you also want to be a part in Proverbs chapter 6? Do you want to be in the category of one of the things that God hates because you have something against your brother? Proverbs chapter 6. In verse 16, these six things Yahweh hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. So there are actually seven things. Number one, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. And then here's the one that pertains to our subject. And one who sows discord among brethren. Do you want to be part of, do you want to be one of these categories? This, you know, do you want to be one who sows discord among your brethren? That you're thinking this thing against your brother and then you let it out through the mouth? Do you want to be in that category of things? When God says that we should freely forgive our brother because God in Christ forgave me, who am I to hold something against my brother when God forgave me of everything that I've committed against him? One of the ways, and you can turn back to the Gospel of John, one of the ways that we love the Lord Jesus Christ is by loving His church, is by loving His people. John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What's new about this commandment? God gave command in Exodus that I should love, I'm sorry, Leviticus, that I should love my neighbor as myself. And this word new could also be translated fresh. A fresh commandment I give you. So what's new about this, that I love my brother, my neighbor, love one another? What's new is, as I have loved you. That's how I want you to love one another. Now what's different is because now, as opposed to all prior history, you know, before this was spoken, now I have God in a body. God who put on a body in front of me, and I get to actually see the love of God. I get to actually behold the love of God being manifested. What's God, how's He going to respond to cries for mercy. Son of David, heal me. Son of David, that I might have my sight. He loves them. He gives them mercy. He heals them. And you saw that when He was in front of you. What's new about this commandment is that now you have the pattern. You know what to do. Now go out and love this way. It's not just words anymore. We saw the Lord Jesus Christ before us. And so now, this fresh commandment that I love my brother has an additional qualification. In the same way that He loved them, us, I'm supposed to love my brother. All right. So we have two tests. If I want to answer the question, am I loving the Lord Jesus Christ? How am I doing? Where do I fit in? Am I successful in doing that? We have two questions to ask ourselves. Number one, do I keep His commandments? And number two, do I love His church? Do I love the brethren? Now there's one thing that I didn't mention here so far, and that is that you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't keep His commandments. You and I can't love the church. You and I can't love the brethren. We can't do it. And you might think that that's a burdensome thing to hear, because people thought that way. And John wrote in 1 John, his commands, they're not burdensome. They're not weighty. They're not heavy. You know why? Because He does them. Because He does them in us. He does them through us. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, you know, the only thing that pleases God is God. Is the perfection that He puts in us. He didn't start with something great here, right? And just make it better. He started with something dead and gave it life. In John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, He gives the command. And I used this example before. In Pennsylvania, if you have a business and you have employees, you have to have workers' compensation insurance in case that employee gets injured or hurt on the job. Okay. Now, I actually got kicked off of one of my... I had insurance with a company, and it was actually several reasons, but they asked me to leave. Okay, we don't want your business anymore. Thank you, but we're losing money. We know how to run the insurance business. So what do you do? Nobody wants you, right? We got this law. Pennsylvania has this law. You have to have workers' compensation insurance. Well, Pennsylvania had to start a workers' compensation company for everybody who nobody else wants. They accept you. Okay? So, they gave the law, and as a result of the law that they made, they also had to make a way to abide by that law. Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ gives the command, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the church. Keep my commandments. He gives the law. Well, he's giving that law to people who don't have the resources to fulfill that law, right? It's not in us. Unless he puts it there. Unless he gives it. So the one who gives the law has to enable the person to fulfill the law. And he does. And he says here, as I lost my place. Oh, apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. And what does nothing mean? It means no thing. No thing can you do without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't please Him. We can't complete that good work that He puts before us. We can't do it. I can't do this without Him. People can't operate in their gifts. People don't get gifts without Him. He has to do it. All right. If you are a young or new believer in Christ, you say, how do I do this? How, okay, you're saying, I want to keep His commandments. Okay, the desire's there. That's there. I want to do that. How do I let Him do this through me? How does that work? Like, do I just lay on the couch and He'll make me get up and He'll make me go and do this thing that He wants me to do? Is that how this works? How is this going to work? You know? Maybe, I've done this, I did it once, and I actually sensed the Holy Spirit doing it through me. But I don't know how to do it consistently. I don't know how to harness this ability for Christ to live this out through me and He be pleased through my life. How do I do that? Well, I have to tell you that I don't have a pat answer. And this question is full of paradox. Because I might say one thing, and then you'll say, yeah, but this is also the case. And I'd say, yeah, I know. And it seems crazy, but it's true that He does this through you. Okay? And here's my encouragement. Here's my exhortation. That you test Him in it. And you do Him. And you're probably going to learn it the same way I did and everybody else in this room that knows how to do it. It's through trial and error. It's through testing Him by obedience that you learn how to do this. Okay? I'm going to give you a suggestion that I heard someone say this, and it's helped me, and it still helps me, and I still do this today. If you're thinking of doing something for the Lord, and I mean anything, if it comes across your mind, you know, I should do this for so-and-so. The Lord puts this in your mind. Say to yourself, I am going to do this for the Lord Jesus Christ. And your heart and your motive will be checked and aligned with the Lord's desire. Say to yourself, I am going to do this for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever this thing is that God's asking me to do, Lord, before I got up here this morning, I was saying, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I hope the body's edified, but I'm doing this for you. I want you to be pleased through this. Above everybody else in the room, I want you to be pleased. Okay. Back up if you're already in John, and we've been in John a lot today, which is the way I like it. In John chapter 14, we're going to read a few more of these verses, and I'll bet you didn't know there were this many. Maybe you did. I didn't, as I was studying this, that so succinctly answer this question, what it means to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're closely clustered together here in the Scripture. In John chapter 14 and verse 21, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I have manifest, could be revealed, and reveal myself to him. So the one who first has the commandment, he knows what it is, and keeps it, that's the one that loves me. That's the one that I know loves me. And the one that loves me, guess how my Father feels about that person? He loves them. He loves the fact that you love His Son. He loves that. And guess what else? The bonus. I will love Him. So we get it back again from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will reveal myself to Him. What's that mean? That means He's going to take some information about Himself and He's going to impart that to you. And you'll be so blessed to know Him better in a more intimate way because you're already doing well. Because you love Him and you're keeping His commandments and He's just going to give you more and it's going to foster greater love. And it's going to go further and it's going to go deeper. Verses 23 and 24 in the same chapter. Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. What's his word? We can interchange that with commands. And my Father will love him. This must be pretty important. You know, in this language that he's speaking, the way that you emphasize something, the way that you make a point is you say it twice. Some of your translations have amen, amen. That means he really wants you to know this point. He really wants you to get this. He just said the same thing two verses ago. Now he's saying it again. If you love me, keep my word. Father will love you. And we'll come and we'll take up residence in you. We're going to make our home in you. If you don't love me, the one that doesn't love me, they're easy to see. They don't keep my commandments. The words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke were not His, but the Father's. And this is just a testimony to His perfect obedience to the Father and His perfect submission to the Father. Flip a chapter to chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide or remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And then the last one, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. So, what's the Lord Jesus Christ's love language? How do we reflect back to Him in appreciation, a commitment, a devotion for what He's done for me? I keep His commandments, and I love the brethren. I love the church. What do you think of my club idea? What do you think about that? You know what? It's not my idea. Well, okay, maybe the meetings in the stadium event. That was my idea. But the benefits and the distinction of being a member of the club, do you think that every person that's a believer in Jesus Christ is a member of this club? No. Because you'd ask yourself, does everyone keep his commandments? No. I lost my thought. I lost my squirrel. Is every person a member of this club? No. Oh, no, there's a distinction, right? So the difference between being in and out of the club is a realistic one, right? The benefits of being in the club, I got right out of here. We just read them. He takes up residence, He and the Father. He reveals Himself to me. He loves me. The Father loves me back. These things happen as a result of me loving the Lord Jesus Christ. What about this part of the deal, though? When you heard my idea about the club, what do you think about the stress on works? Was it too much for the grace believer? Did you want to run for 1 John 1:9 and say, hey, wait a second. I'm a sinner. You forgot about that. He says, I can confess this and move on. No, I didn't forget about that. I was just highlighting the one thing that He does say about loving Him. And that is, this is the way He wants to be loved. And He tells us, and it's clear. Did it make you nervous? What if this? What if I did this? What if at the meetings of the club, I forbid the use of the word grace? Because, and I had a very good reason, because the Lord Jesus Christ never used the word grace. Check it out. He never used the word grace. Does that mean He wasn't gracious? No. Scripture says He was full of grace and truth. He just didn't use the word. He just did it. He just taught it. It was in the things He said. It was in the things He taught. Now, I'm not stressing works, and I know we're sinners. I'm stressing this is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be loved. And I'm going to close with this. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus teaches us again in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered together. Will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you blessed of My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, okay, these are the righteous. They'll say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and or thirsty and give drink? When did we see you stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me." Then He will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they also will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." So what does it mean to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Part of it would be that His people are of an extension of Him, of who He is. And what I do to them, I do to Him. So, your love language, you know, maybe it varies. Maybe it's different for us. The way that we want to be blessed by others. Our interests, our desires, our talents may shape us a certain way that we appreciate being ministered to in a certain form. The Lord Jesus Christ, it's simpler than that. It's very uncomplicated. It's keeping His commands. And it's loving His church. That's the way that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.